Hello, hola, welcome, bienvenidos. It is your faith-based, sex-positive, woman-centered, sacred rebel podcast host of the Radiant Sessions podcast. And this is episode 37. If you are someone who intellectualizes your pain, if you are really good at being transparent, but not being vulnerable, or maybe you don't know the difference between the two, like I didn't a couple weeks ago, then this episode is just for you. So let's get into it. You might be thinking, well, what is the difference between being transparent and vulnerable? Transparency is the ability to talk about a thing, to talk about something honestly, to be able to state the facts as they are, as you experienced them, as you went through it. Vulnerability is about being able to share how you feel, to be able to feel how you feel and express those feelings, whether to yourself or to someone else. For example, let's say you're walking down the street and someone accidentally, who's on a bike, is coming by, not paying attention, and maybe you're looking down at your phone and that person rolls over your foot. Transparency would be, instead of being, oh no, it's fine, you're like, oh, you rolled over my foot. That's the facts. You didn't gloss over it. You didn't act like it didn't happen. You acknowledged what happened. You said, this is what you did to me. Vulnerability would be like, not only are you not fine, but I am in pain and I am angry that you weren't paying attention and thus rolled over my foot, causing me pain. See the difference? Realizing that, learning that difference really challenged me, because I realized that for the most part in my therapeutic journey, I have relied on transparency and haven't really truly been vulnerable. What's wrong with that? Nothing is per se wrong with it completely. There is value in being transparent, but it's not enough. Because not being vulnerable and not allowing yourself or giving yourself permission to be vulnerable creates a dynamic where you are disconnected from your feelings and your emotions. You don't allow yourself the time and space to be honest about the impact of the situation. And when you are disconnected from your feelings and your emotions, more often we want to be disconnected from the ones that are painful, the ones that hurt, the ones that are negative, because they feel too overwhelming. Here's the problem. When we're disconnected and we disconnect from our feelings because we don't want to feel the quote unquote bad ones, it's really hard, damn near impossible, to fully connect to the good ones. we're not really built to be able to compartmentalize like that. Whereas, like, I'm calling in all the good stuff, but I don't ever want to sit with myself to feel the bad. And I say bad and good in quotes. Picture me air quoting right now when I say those things, because ultimately what we want to do, what I'm learning to do, is not to judge those feelings, the ones that we perceive as negative or bad and positive or good. Instead of judging them, just allow them to be. They are what they are. When we focus on transparency and we allow transparency to be the guide in our healing journey, a lot of times, at least for me, and dare I say many of you, what we're doing is we're intellectualizing the pain, the experience. And that's a defense mechanism. A defense mechanism that is born out of our ego. Because we use it, again, to avoid painful emotions by using reason to downplay the significance of what happened. And the even sadder part, mind you, I can't, you know, maybe a therapist that I've had in the last 4 years has said it. I don't remember them saying anything like this, but I've literally been in therapy in some way, shape, or form for the most part of the last 4 years. And I don't remember anyone calling out like, that's great. You're able to intellectualize what happened to you. But how does it make you feel? How did it make you feel when you were a child and your mom tried to do the best that she could? But how did it make you feel when you had to live with your grandparents for an extended period of time? How did it make you feel when you were in your grandparents' home and you missed your mom and you saw other people living with their moms and you couldn't? Using myself as an example. How did it make you feel when your sister lied and told your grandfather in a letter that you were no longer a virgin? Because as she said, she was tired of them thinking that I was perfect. How did it make me feel when I was dating my first boyfriend in my church, and the adults were telling him to break up with me because he should be with someone that is their own kind? How did that make me feel? I never really considered it. Again, avoiding those painful emotions, because those painful emotions felt too dangerous and too overwhelming, even without feeling them. I just always, at some point, I learned through conditioning, or I was just born this way, that feeling those emotions was too much. And I couldn't tell anyone else, let alone tell myself, because they're too much for me, then they're absolutely too much for anyone else, especially when I have a mother who relied on me a lot for emotional stability and for support and encouragement, and someone that would just listen to her when she talked. I couldn't be that or go to her for that because she was coming to me for that. And no one was telling me or saying, hey, You should talk about this. How do you feel? Over time, when we do that, I'm almost 40. I'll be 39 in a few months. I've been literally doing this most of my life. it creates a certain numbness. To your feelings. You're not really fully present. And in a lot of ways, I can see how living like that maybe didn't cause my anxiety or depression. Maybe it did. But even if it didn't cause it, it definitely exacerbates it. Definitely makes my anxiety and depression worse, because anxiety has me worried about the future, worried about the outcome, and depression is me feeling so sad, in a lot of ways debilitating my ability to do certain things because I'm suppressing those emotions. Dealing with one of those is hard enough. Dealing with both of those many times at the same exact time, where you're depressed and anxious, the mind is amazing. And I can be depressed and anxious, worried and sad, worried and suppressing. Why do we do this if it's so unhealthy? Well, I mean, if we think about it, most of us, many of us, this is what was modeled by our parents, by our grandparents. We haven't really been a culture, society, you know, as Americans or wherever you are, as Black people, wherever you are, as West Indian, Caribbean people, wherever you are, as Latino people, wherever you might be, where not only is it okay, but it's encouraged to talk about how you feel. It's something as simple as you ask someone, how are you? Most people respond without even thinking and just say, I'm fine. I'm okay. When's the last time you actually heard an adult? Or when's the last time you, as an adult, had someone ask you, how are you? And instead of giving them the response that you feel like they're expecting, because I know for me, be like, oh, you're asking that to be courteous. You don't really want to know how I am. But if they asked, when's the last time you actually were honest? And not even to say that when they ask that question that something is always wrong. What if something is good? And you're like, someone's like, how are you? You know what? I am really, really happy. I am so peaceful today. Because again, intellectualizing our feelings goes both ways. How often are we experiencing beautiful, amazing things and we don't allow ourselves to feel it because we're scared that if we do, it's going to be taken away from us? I'm scared to feel joy because I've gone through so much that I don't think this joy is going to last. I'm scared to feel love. Because love is scary, because someone can love me today and not love me tomorrow. And newsflash, that's anxiety. Because anxiety is worried about the future and not allowing you to be present in that moment. And so we ask, well, what if it's taken away? As opposed to also looking at the other side or replacing the perspective with, what if it did? What if it does work out? What if they really do love me, still. Because I was so and still working through not being so disconnected to my feelings, and this might be something that can help you when I'm feeling intense emotions, good, bad, or indifferent, and I'm fighting with the urge to intellectualize and really want to be able to feel. I'll sit down, I'll grab one of my many, many journals, or even if I don't grab a journal, grab post-it notes, grab a piece of paper, and I'll start writing. And when I do that, I'll pull up the emotions wheel to help me with naming exactly what I'm feeling. To be able to be as colorful with myself, with naming the emotions, knowing that there are several core emotions, and then being able to branch out and find other words that be like, oh, you know, yes, I'm angry, but I'm really scared too. I'm frustrated. That really surprised me. It shocked me. Because the thing is that, again, we're talking about this healing journey. I've been trying to fix my emotional pain using my mind and my ego. And emotional pain can't be solved. It can only be felt. I'm going to say that again. Emotional pain cannot be solved. It can only be felt. So as we walk around and go around living our lives, disconnected from our feelings, thinking that if I just do more, if I just read more, if I just think more, if I just go to this seminar, if I just get this coach, and again, none of those things are bad, but they have their place. They cannot help you fix your emotional problems. I have learned so much about my diagnosis now as ADHD. I have learned so much about trauma, and I likely will continue to do so. I have learned so much about attachment theory and childhood abandonment and all of these things. Sexual assault and rape, all valid. Learn, research, but none of that can fix the pain that I felt and still feel because those things happened to me. And focusing too much on the facts takes us away from what we feel in our heart and into our head. And we've done it so much. It's become a habit. It's become armor. It's become, again, a defense mechanism, because the more we have not done it, the scarier and more dangerous it feels to go there. So now we do whatever it takes to not feel. We work entirely too much. We make sure our schedules are filled to the brim. Working, serving, taking care of our families, taking care of our kids. Maybe we drink a lot. Maybe we have a lot of sex. Maybe we're smoking a lot. Maybe we're partying all the time. Maybe we're going to church every day. Oh, you thought I was going to forget y'all? Maybe you busy yourself with serving God. because we're trying to escape our own feelings. Maybe we read the Bible and watch a whole bunch of sermons. And anytime there's a service, especially now, everybody's streaming. So essentially, there's always a service that you haven't watched that you can plug into. This is what I talked about several episodes ago about bypassing. It's the same thing. We're on the same tree. It's another branch. Because now we're removing ourselves from our true feelings and then wondering why we're not getting any better. Because you can talk about it till you blue in the face and then wonder why you still feel that little tinge of pain. And not because the pain is small, but because you're so divorced from it that you don't allow yourself to feel it. And the moment that you start feeling a little bit, you shift your focus. And that, again, the lack of emotional clarity show up as panic attacks, anxiety, depression, conflict in your relationships. You're walking around angry all the time. Because anger in our society, in a lot of ways, is an accepted emotion. Being hard. Not taking no shit from nobody. Again, putting up that it feels like a safe armor. Because it doesn't let anybody in to love you. It doesn't let in joy, peace, and happiness. But it also feels like, and you've convinced yourself, that it also doesn't let in any pain. No one can hurt you because you keep them on the outside. So yes, therapy is good. But even as I've said earlier in this episode, I talked a lot about facts. And that was valid for the time. It's what I needed. The facts got me to recognize that I was in an abusive relationship. It got me to recognize that not only was I in one, but I needed to get out of it. It helped me to create strategy on how I can remain safe while I planned to escape that relationship. It got me to be able to label the things that I went through as a child, like the abandonment, the parentification. It was valid for that time. But subsequently, other therapists, as I am displaying this knowledge and this awareness of my trauma, even they felt comfortable allowing me to continue intellectualizing it. And so today, tomorrow, whenever you're listening to this, I invite you to make room for your pain. Feel the ache. And if you're a parent, if you're in a relationship, or relationships, whatever that looks like, as you make room for your pain, give room for those that you love to do the same. And here's the thing, as we make room for our pain, as we give space, as we learn to feel and to name those feelings, we can also learn to give room for the beautiful emotions that we also can experience and probably are experiencing, but haven't even been able to really tap into the fullness of those experiences because we're just so cut off. Some tips while you're on this journey. Accept your feelings. If you decide to start writing, or maybe writing isn't what you need, maybe you want to record yourself talking and just record voice memos, or you just sit there and just feel. As you feel, don't judge it. Just accept it. It is what it is. When you're triggered by something, in the heat of the moment, notice it. Take a mental note of that feeling and what triggered that feeling. And be as specific as possible when you realize you've been triggered. Not just, oh, I'm upset. No, I felt jealousy when I saw that person walk in the room. I felt scared when my spouse, my lover, didn't answer the phone and didn't call me back for 4 hours. Be mindful in a non-judgmental way of what you're feeling. And feel it. Because you can't fix your pain. You can only feel it. And as once you feel it, then you can sit, what do I want to do with this? What is this telling me? What is this teaching me? Am I in an unsafe place? Am I in an unsafe relationship? How is this impacting me? Here's the thing too. I believe that when we start to practice this non-judgmental awareness of how we feel, we realize that those feelings don't have to sabotage our life. That the past is really truly gone and doesn't have to affect our present, let alone our future. And that you are truly safe. And that you are strong enough to feel everything and keep on living. Because most of the time, thinking about all the things that I've been through as a child and even as an adult, I'm only continuing to go through it because I haven't truly felt it. It's not actually still happening in reality. It's only happening in my energetic, emotional body. So, cheers to feeling our feelings. I hope this episode was enriching and encouraging and enlightening, as it was for me when I had the realization of what I was doing and how I wanted to give myself the permission to feel, so I can move past all of those hard and painful things and really, really start fresh and be able to experience love and joy and happiness that I deserve and that you deserve. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please feel free. Please email me at radiant@lucelenia.com. You can visit my website at www.lucelenia.com. That's LUZCELENIA. And while you're there, go ahead and check out t-shirts and sweatshirts and mugs. love to see you all in one or more than one of them. And as always, continue to shine brightly, be as radiant as the sun. Don't diminish your light for anyone. I love you. Have a great week. See you next time.